Well, good morning, everybody. Happy Human Design New Year to you all. And thank you for joining Living Astrology with Janet Hickox. It's time to grab your cup of coffee or your tea, sit back and relax, and let's chat about what's going on in the sky above us. And there's quite a bit to talk about today as we're in the shadow of the new moon. And I want to make sure everybody has all the information that they need for that. And we are also talking about we're going to continue our chat about some of the new year energies through human design. And of course, there's always the daily things that are going on that we'll also want to talk about. So I hope everybody had a wonderful evening and a wonderful night. And we are sitting here today with the moon fully in the sign of Capricorn all throughout the day. We do end up in a void of course moon later in the evening, 6:09 p.m. my time, 9:09 for you all on the east coast of the U.S., and that lasts until 5:21 a.m. tomorrow morning, and then 8:21 for you on the east coast as the moon moves into the sign of Aquarius, and of course then ends up aligning for its new moon state. And that doesn't occur until like early afternoon, my time, later in the afternoon for you all on the East Coast. And we'll talk more about the details of the new moon coming up here shortly. Today, as the moon is moving through the later degrees of Capricorn, yeah, you gotta know, or at least suspect what that means to all of us. As the moon comes into an alignment, a conjunction with the planet Pluto and with the planet Saturn. Also today, Moon is in a sextile to the planet Neptune. So we have some good energy there. We have some high side energy for spirituality. And at the worst, we have some energy for delusion and disillusionment. But we also have a possibility with the conjunction to Pluto and Saturn to make some more inroads into our plans for what we wanted to do for the new year. I see people are checking in with us right now. Good morning, Mimi. It's great to see you in your own natural state. As in, Mimi's been my moderator behind the scenes, and every time she would comment, it would say Living Astrology. And now I see it says Mimi as I took her out of the moderator state yesterday. Hopefully, because the couch people have left us alone this week. Good morning, Debbie Hedden. And Camille says, yes, good morning. This is a red day for me. Loving this calendar. Green day brought a business invitation. Love it. Debbie Hedden says, good morning, everybody. Or hi, everybody. So welcome. And it's good to see you all. I have a couple of other things that I want to talk about today. Because we often talk about the void of course moon, and I think we did a pretty good job the other day of talking about it as we had this long void of course. But I'm not sure that I explained completely that idea of the last aspect that the moon makes before it travels into the void. So when we think of the void is a place of nothingness, right? There's no new contacts that the moon is making. So while in that void, we're left with the energy of the last aspect that the moon made before she traveled into the void, almost like it is an invitation to a contemplation of those energies that we were left with. So while it looks like today is a decent sort of day, energetically, it's sort of upbeat. There's some positive things going on. We're in anticipation of that new moon. There is also the potential toward the end of the day to have some of that melancholic feeling that introverted, maybe more integrative, more quiet, more withdrawn energy, because the last aspect that the moon makes is that conjunction to Saturn. And Saturn and the moon come together often to bring up some of the less happy emotional energies that we carry. So maybe by the end of the day, you become a little disillusioned or disheartened because you didn't get what you thought you should get done. Maybe somebody says something to you and it drives you a little bit crazy. So it's running through your head, tending to bring your energy down. It could be as simple as you feel a little more tired this evening, maybe a little more lethargic, you want to crawl into bed earlier. Either way you look at it, we're left with that time, that aspect to bring us into more deeper contemplation and a time for us to really scan our inner emotional field to discover where it is that we might be out of alignment, where our emotions are telling us one thing, but our minds are telling us a different thing, and what we have to do in order to bring that together and really discover something about ourselves. So be aware, right? Be aware. It's not that long this time, right? It's overnight. So maybe it takes, takes like a, that's what I really think is that we're going to find ourselves toward the evening going, gosh, I'm really tired, yawning, at 8 o'clock instead of 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock and wanting to get off to bed earlier this evening. And if that's the case, then honor that within yourself because your body's telling you it needs that time to recuperate from something. And it doesn't have to be, even if you're feeling blue or, melancholic, don't take it seriously. It doesn't mean anything except that it's time for you to maybe integrate something or to look inward for the answers as to what was going on. So often when the moon and Saturn do this, and there have been times in, I'm sure, in your lives, because I've had a time in my life where the moon by progression sits in a place that aspects your Saturn for a longer period of time, like months at a time. When that happens, it is really a time for you to get clear about what's going on in your head, because the head and emotional connection is often very prominent. And if you trace back the feeling that you have of melancholy or depression or upset, you can likely trace it to maybe an incident that happened in your daily or waking life that then created a series of thoughts that then created the reaction in your body of the emotional field, and then you carry that with you. So it's always a good idea when you start to feel that energy to see if there's a trigger point, to see if you can trace it back to what was it that was said or what happened. And what were your thoughts to about that in reaction? And then understanding yourself a little better about what is going on in that emotional field. I hope that makes sense to everybody, because no one else can outside of you can do this for you. It's not like your husband's going to divine, oh yeah, you're thinking about XYZ and how that made you feel, and now you're sad because of that. No one else out there is going to be able to do that for you. That's a function of you taking responsibility, Saturn, responsibility for your own moon emotional field, your own emotions. So there you have that. Crystal, good morning. Mimi says, yes, nice to be back to me. Happy to have assisted. And I totally have appreciated you doing that, Mimi, as it's kept us from having a lot of people annoying us. Angela, good morning. Colleen McSpirit, good morning. Asa, good morning. And Rob Parkinson, good morning to you. You are probably new. I don't think I've seen your name before. And hopefully you are here to join us and learn some things about astrology and in the process, learn some things about yourself. Awesome. Welcome. Okay, so now we have one major, major good. It's good. So maybe it is major aspect happening this morning, and that is Venus in Pisces in a sextile to Jupiter in Capricorn. Now, remember, when I say sextile or I say square or I say a conjunction, these are just words in astrology that describe the relationship between the two planets involved. So Venus in Pisces is in a sextile relationship to Jupiter in Capricorn. And as we've talked about many times, a sextile is usually a nice flow, an exchange of information, of ideas, and inspiration between the two planets involved. Now, Venus is considered a beneficent planet. She brings us good things. She's about affection and love and relationships, money and our values. So there's a lot of really good things wrapped up there. And when she's in a sextile to Jupiter, the planet of expansion and generosity and of optimism, you can kind of see that we have the setup for the possibility of a really good day, right? We can get free maybe of some of the heavier energies that have been hanging around us. Maybe turn off your phone today and don't listen. I had to turn off notifications because my phone was telling me every 2 minutes what was going on in the world. And I guess Seattle had a major shooting yesterday. So of course I'm hearing that 25 times. I counted it 25 times. Finally, I had to turn off notifications. So you turn off the notifications, you get free, you get lighter. So we are able then to connect with that lighter, more affectionate and loving energy of the day. This is also, when these two come together, sort of the model of entertaining and socializing. Right, today I would expect the water cooler, in your office not to be about gossip, but to be about, genuine affection for one another, a genuine liking of one another's energy and wanting to share conversation. It is optimistic today. There's this, I even felt it when I woke up this morning, sort of this, first of all, when I woke up this morning and got up, I was hungry. And I am never hungry in the morning. I really don't even eat breakfast until probably 10:30 or 11 my time. After I've gotten done with the show and the production afterwards, then I eat breakfast, which by that time is almost lunch. But this morning I woke up and I was ravenous and I was like, what is going on here? So I made my husband make me breakfast. He was making it for himself and I just said, add me in. He's like, what? You never eat breakfast. Well, this morning there was that. I needed food. And I think it is kind of that feeling sometimes of optimism, and all of your body functions are working at high speed, or they're working at optimum levels. And then, of course, the body then requires energy to be able to do that. So we have this really great day on tap, at least through this energy that seems to bring us that lighter feeling. We can become today more generous with our time, with our affection, with our money, all of these kinds of things that are Venus ruled things that we could become more generous with. We may be able to better see and connect to or engage our higher callings today. So our higher purpose, right? Jupiter helps us see the bigger picture. Venus really wants to just connect and be part of something, right? Part of the human race. And we may be able to connect with what our more higher purpose is. Romance is in the air as well. If you are connected with somebody romantically in your life, today's a great day for that. This is the kind of day that you would love to have on Valentine's Day, where these, kind of things would collide. But we have one small thing we have to watch out for, and that is that when these two planets come together, they make us feel really good, really optimistic, really generous, and we can easily overdo things. So overspend, overeat, overgive of ourselves. So you want to just be careful about that, right? You just keep things in perspective, keep things proportional, right, to what you're able to do. So you don't want to overexpend and then later in the evening get down to that Moon Saturn connection and have no energy left over for yourself. Right. So don't go into the deficit, but definitely today is a good day, a brighter day, even though it's dark and stormy and whatever here. It's not even bothering me today that it's like that. In fact, it's kind of warmish this morning. I opened the door for a while for the cat to come and go, and she decided she didn't like the rain and the wind, but the warmer temperatures felt good. Linda, good morning to you. Thank you for joining. And Rob Parkinson says, I am. Good for you. I love that. So willing to learn and expand and find out more about yourself. Breathe. Okay, so shall we talk about the new moon? There are some really interesting things to talk about with the new moon tomorrow. And by the way, the new moon occurs at 1:43 p.m. Pacific time, so 4:43 p.m. for you all on the East Coast, and 8 hours, of course, after my time for you all in Europe. And it is at 4 degrees of Aquarius. So we are in that Aquarius energy. We are in our human design at the gate 41 in the sun, which means that we are in that imagination and creative space where we are being prompted by the universe, by the energies, to take the creation, take the imagination, and bring it into reality, right? Not letting it just sit up there in our minds and in our, souls, sitting there with this energy of creation, but never getting it done. And there is something I didn't mention about the sun at gate 41 yesterday, or the day before when we were talking about it either, or I might have brought it up. But the gate 41, which again is on the root center, that very bottom center down here, right at this gate here, moving out toward the emotional center, is a gate that prompts imagination and creativity. But where do you think you're getting that from? Where do you think that comes from? Your mind? Probably not, right? The mind takes that information and it thinks it out. It compares it. It contrasts. It analyzes, and it brings awareness to the thought. But what's really happening in the gate 41 is that we are tapping into what I call, and what a lot of people would call, the morphogenetic field. With the morphogenetic field is just the invisible energy force that holds things together here on the planet. And the people and all of us right now have the gate 41 defined. We can sort of read the morphogenetic field. We're tapping into and sort of reading, if you will, with our intuition or with our souls, from our soul's eyes, what it is that we, what the next trend is, what the next thing for us to do is. It's almost like reading the blueprints. Right. And, you know, I don't know if you've ever seen blueprints. I look at blueprints and I'm like, oh, Jeeves, what is that? I mean, you kind of get the gist of it, but, you know, it's hard to understand the blueprint unless you have the key, right? The key to the blueprint. This means that. This means that. This means that. And that's a problem sometimes with the energy of the gate 41, is we're tapping into that morphogenetic field, but we don't hold the key. Right, or we don't think we hold the key. The truth is, we hold the key. You don't have to know with your mind what it is that you're supposed to do next. Your mind is, you know, can be very limited because it's limited by conditioning, by the society that you're in, the culture you're in, the family patterns, the family of origin, all the ancestral lines. I mean, we get caught up in all of these shouldas, coulds, woulds. You can't do that. You know, you can do that, but you can't do that. So our mind takes us into an area where we hold the key, but we don't use the key. But the morphogenetic field is available to all of us all the time, by the way. But it's available even more so right now, where we're tapping into what the blueprint is for us personally and also collectively. Now, I think all of us probably know people who always seem to be at the cutting edge of something, right? They're always the trendsetters, or they're always the ones that are bringing up the next best thing. And those people are tapping into the morphogenetic field of the collective. Right? The collective. We also probably know people that always seem to be right on the ball and their business is always moving, or their lives are always moving forward. They always seem to be on, upbeat and on task. They are also tapping into their own personal morphogenetic field and their part that they're playing in the whole. Now, just because you see other people and doing that, and you feel like, no, I don't do that, you do, right? You do. You all, we all have that ability. It's a matter of whether you believe that you can tap into that or not. Enter in the new moon. This new moon is extraordinary in terms of allowing us to see ourselves from a different perspective, to be able to tap into what's new, and to tap into and see that morphogenetic field. Now, the verbiage of that is sort of new agey. I got it. I get that, right? Some of you are probably going, I don't know what she's talking about. But literally, something is around us that we're tapping into. It's no different than when I talk about the galactic center and how the galactic center is streaming information all the time, and that some of us are better than others at picking up that information and using it. But we all have the ability. It's about belief. Do you believe that it's there and available to you? Or is it something that you think is pie in the sky and someone else has it, but not me? Or do you think it's all BS and people that think like that are crazy? Because, I mean, that's a possibility too. Maybe we're all crazy. Or maybe we're crazy because we've forgotten the power and the strength that we all have to be able to tap into these fields, right? So a lot of the energy of the new moon then is about it's speaking to the breaking up of these old traditions, the old beliefs, old patterns, to be able to accommodate the new, right? You know that you can't, if you're remodeling your house, for example, you can't bring in all the new cabinets or the new furniture until you do what? Get rid of the old, right? You got to get rid of the old in order to make space for the new. So we're in a process of doing that as well. And also, we are learning how to take the best from, I mean, it's not like we would just want to dump the past and leave it all, right? We want to be, there's a human story here, right? There's the story of humanity. And humanity has had ups and downs, and we've had, desperate times, and we've had joyful times. And we want to be able to cherish all of those experiences, but we don't want to get caught up and stuck in the past. So we want to take the best of and bring it with us as we join that to the best of the possible. Aquarius energy, where this new moon is showing us the best and the highest possible. And I mean, there's danger in going too far into the future. There's danger in getting too cutting edge. But we want to be able to join the past to the future and in the now. We want to create a more powerful now. And we see it when we're talking about Harry and Meghan, and that, what are they calling it? Megxit. Oh God. You gotta love news people. And how what their attempt to do was to honor the traditions, the royal traditions, let's say, but they realized how old it is and how archaic it is and how it holds everything back. And they wanted to marry that with the best and brightest of the future and how it could be used in new, exciting ways and bring it into the now and be able to marry the past and the future in the now. So it's really funny to be able to see that going on in the collective, in the bigger, wider world, even before we actually have this new moon. So I wanted to read something to you. This book here is by Dane Rudyard. It's called An Astrological Mandala, and it takes the degrees of the zodiac and breaks them into a story, if you will. And each degree of the zodiac brings up a story, a little bit of a story. And the story isn't like, they're not bits and pieces of a jigsaw that you're putting in here and then over here. It's coherent. It builds one upon the other. So if you were looking at the whole of the Aquarius story in this series, you would see how these things are building up. So because I don't have the time to read all of that to you, I'm going to read to you just the degree of the moon and the sun for tomorrow's new moon. So we are looking, and this is the verbiage. A council of ancestors is seen implementing the efforts of a young leader. Is that exactly what I just described to you, basically? The keynote is the root foundation of past performances which power and sustain whatever decision is made in a crisis by an individual. The whole past of mankind stands behind any individual effort, especially in times of critical decisions. The endeavor of the priests who built the California missions had behind it the whole past of Catholic proselytizing, i.e., the attempt to bring the good news, in quotes, to all people of the earth. Every individual is far more dependent upon the strength of his ancestors' achievements or oppressed by their failures and lack of vision than he usually believes. This can mean a hidden foundation of individual strength or the inertia of a tradition unable to transcend its limited origins. So, it is the last symbol in this sequence, and it suggests that in many situations, reliance upon precedence will enable the aspirant to greatness to tap the power of his deepest roots. So, do you get that, right? It's about being able to tap into the best, the strength, the wisdom of the past, but be able to apply it in new and exciting and more innovative ways. And thus we come to another meaning of the month of January, where the Roman god Janus, Janus, the two-headed god, was looking with one face to the past and one face to the future. And it's a very striking time of year where that is possible, where we can see, our ancestors and all the legends and the stories, and we can see that we need, there's pressure maybe even to bring in the new, and we can bring it together, sew them together in a new story, right? So that's the possibility here. Now, in this particular new moon, I noticed a yod. And a yod is a configuration. It's also known as the finger of God. So some of you may hear it as a yod. Other people call it the finger of God. And most astrologers won't use this configuration in describing the new moon because they don't use the same points of the astrology chart that I use. And that those three points also are telling us the story of a maturing process of our letting go as we grow up, and we are letting go of our childish ways, if you will, that's in quotes, and moving forward into our maturity, right? We're growing up, right? We are growing up. We are getting wiser. And I'm going to show you the yod here because it's between the goddess planet Sedna. Let me see. How do I do that? There we go. The goddess planet Sedna at one point, the part of fortune at another point, and the god finger, the point that we have to use to change everything, is the galactic center. So we have the galactic center at the point, the release point of the yod. And that to me says we're leaning into something bigger than each of us, but that each of us has a part in it. And the more that each of us as individuals create this, we create from our souls, that create from our truths, the more that we are adding momentum to this collective change. So lest you believe that you have no part in all of this, that you're just this little bit player, it is every little bit player coming together that creates the momentum for change on the whole wide planet. And a finger of God is highly difficult, let's say, because there's a lot of pressures for the old to hold sway. There's a lot of pressure of the ancient way that things have been, those survival energies. So here, how I'm seeing this is that the pressure and the force being exerted upon us by fear, the fear field of the planet, which is also in the morphogenetic field, right? It's a false evidence appearing real kind of energy at this point in time, because we've gone through everything, that there's nothing out there that can eat us at this point, right? We're not really in danger except from our own actions of dying off on the planet. So the fear energy has kind of morphed into these shadows that we see and we talk about in human design and in, or excuse me, the gene keys all the time. So we are in a process then of maturing. Sedna, she's the planet that in the Inuit, she's an Inuit goddess, and she really represents a twofold issue, one of where the child can't release the parent, or the parent can't release the child. And so there's almost this feeling of maturity that's held back, right? For some reason, usually fear, right? The fear of going forward. And the part of fortune is all about finding joy and happiness and sort of a luck, right? A luck in being in the right place at the right time with the right people and the right opportunities. And both of them form the base. So one end, we're sort of immature. At the other end, we're looking for joy. We're looking for that expression of love and all the good stuff. And it's pointing at the galactic center, which sits at about 26, 27 degrees of Sagittarius. And actually, right now it's at 27:58, is it? Of galactic center. Yep, 27 degrees, 7 minutes. Of Sag. So it's where the truth really resides, the real truth, not the false truth, not the little t truths that some of our religions would have us believe in, or our cultures would have us believe in, or those kinds of things that have been used as divisive tools. It's really the bigger truth about how the common core, how we all come together and create a reality. So the new moon shows us breaking free of our past constraints, right? And it's interesting to note that another one of the connections the moon is making, and we'll talk about the rest of them because there's other aspects here too that it's making, is that it's the last solar eclipse, which was on Christmas Day or the day after Christmas, depending what time zone you were in, was at 4 degrees of Capricorn. And so we have a sort of moment in time here where the new moon is reminding us of something. Take the best from the past and join it to what's coming up. Let go of anything that doesn't serve you. Let go of anything that you cannot take forward with you, right? Anything that feels binding or feels heavy, leave it. and move forward, taking the best of everything you are, everything you've been, everything your ancestors had to offer, and marrying it to the new. Ha! Such a strong pattern. It's not often that we see something so profound and so coherent throughout the different ways that we can look at the energies of the time that we're in. So remember, we've had the Saturn-Pluto conjunction going on. Now Jupiter and Pluto and Pallas Athena are going to get into the kick later in the year. So there's been this destruction and disturbance and what did I call it yesterday? Distortion, destruction, and I can't remember. Discord, right? We've had all that and it's still there. It's still happening as things are toppling. But the potential right now is for us to be able to see the purpose and the meaning behind all of that as we move forward. It's really quite striking. All right, comments. Rob says, new to human design, awakening process began nearly 13 years ago. Very interested in learning more. You've come to the right place, Rob. We talk about these things all the time. My attempt is to marry them all together, weaving the story of humankind through astrology, human design, and something called the gene keys, which you might want to take a look and see how what that is all about. Linda Marie has joined us. Tracy has joined us. Kristen, good morning. Marissa says, good morning, everybody. Mary Tapping Maskell has joined us. Dusa, good morning. Christine, excuse me, Erickson, good morning. And Dusa says, the 27 degree Sagittarius is in my fourth house. You know, now that you guys, and by the way, you have one more day. If you have not yet gotten your calendars or your timeline for 2020, you have that opportunity. Go to my website at living-astrology.com. Up at the very top of the page is the link to my email. Send me a link or send me an email telling me you want your free report. In it are 12 monthly calendars that tell you specifically for where you live, what time the aspects are happening, what the aspects are that are happening, both from a personalized point of view, but also the general point of view. And then also a timeline for 12 months, January to through December, for you personally, of every day that is of importance to you with a little bit of an interpretation of what that means. And it's free, right? It's free. I also send you your natal astrology chart with that so that you have that to look at and to be able to learn how to put all of this together. So you have through tomorrow to be able to request that from me. And the email is Janet at living-astrology.com. So, okay, now I was saying that because I was going somewhere else with this. So the learning process here of like Dusa is bringing up here, 27 degrees of Sagittarius in her fourth house. If this chart were a person instead of just a timeline, we would see that we have the galactic center in this chart at the in the sixth house. These pie-shaped pieces represent the houses, and they start over here at the 9 o'clock position of the chart with the first house, and then go counterclockwise around through the 12th house. Each one of the houses represents an area of your life. The fourth house, for example, where Deuce's 27th degree is a very powerful house of home and family and traditions. And Dusa, it makes me wonder if you're here to break with traditions, the traditions of your ancestors or of your family line, right? Maybe shaking up the roots a bit to be able to embrace some of this newer energy that's coming in. Maybe you come from a long line of people who had certain beliefs or lived certain realities. And you're here to break that pattern and to shake it up, right? To move it on forward. In the chart that I just showed you here, the sixth house would be some kind of information coming in about the environment, about how they are here to serve people on the planet because it's a very humanitarian house. It's about the nuts and bolts of how we serve. It's how we take that creative imagination and we put it to work out in the world. So that house for that person would mean they're really here with that energy to embrace the new coming in about around work and serving the collective, serving the world. So wherever it is in your chart, you can look to the meaning of the house, and that will give you sort of an idea of where it is that you're sharing from the galactic center, right? It gives you an in, if you will. Okay, a theme. That's even better. So we have that yod that's pressuring us to receive. You are both, you're sort of like a giant receiver when it comes to the galactic center, as in you're really being bombarded with this information. It's coming down through the crown into your energetic body and being dispersed through all of the energy centers. And you are tuned into, you can be exquisitely tuned into what your role is in all of that when you tune into that galactic center. Sometimes I just sit and ask, what do I need to say today? And then I start writing madly. It's like I channel while I'm, sitting there in that process of what am I supposed to share today? And you may be able to do the same sort of thing. What is it I'm meant to do today? Who am I meant to be with today? And allow yourself to be filled from that space, from that very highly spiritual energy. Okay, questions, comments about that? Angela, 27 Sag is my ascendant. Woohoo! Right? So you're ascendant. You were born into the galactic center, if you will. So I would say that your viewpoint is meant to be expansive and to be, you're pointed in the direction of new and then meant to bring it into into reality, into the into your new, into life. It's like a new, it reminds me for you of a whole new, like your evolutionary cycle is done and you're now moving into a new one and receiving new marching orders, if you will, to of what it is you're here to do on the planet. So there you have that. Jacqueline says, good morning, everybody. And Kathy Miller, good morning. And happy birthday to Oliver. Nice, very nice. Okay, so now let's look deeper at the new moon. So maybe some of you are new enough here that you don't understand what is the big hoopla around the new moon, right? What is all about? What is it all about? Well, the new moon is an opportunity. Every month we have a gateway, portal, opportunity to join into something new, to create again from a new place. And of course, there are about 12 or 13 new moons, depending on how the calendar rolls. So you have these opportunities, typically about 13 opportunities every year to elevate yourself, right? To create from a new place. The creating from a new place right now is happening in Aquarius. And Aquarius rules certain areas of your life. And these are the general places, right? Not so much in your own personal chart right now, but the general in energies of Aquarius. And during the new moon, then it's often a time where we set intentions for what it is we want to manifest. Kind of telling the universe our desire list, our Christmas list of what it is that we want. And we then are able to tap in and set powerful intentions and wishes, if you will, manifestation or to manifest in our lives those things that we really desire. And if we align our intentions with sort of the areas of life that are being represented by that sign, it adds power to our manifesting. So Aquarius then has several different areas of life that it rules. One, it rules our inventiveness. So here's where we can set intentions to see things in a new way, to create from innovative ideas, to be brilliant. All of you are brilliant. It is only the outer world that convinced you that being brilliant meant being smart or having a high IQ. How many of you have ever been around a Down syndrome child or a person? And you would say their brilliance doesn't lie in their intelligence. Their brilliance lies somewhere else in their creativity, in their love, in their joy. Brilliance isn't just your intelligence. If you do so, if you believe that your brilliance only comes from your mind, you have way limited yourself. So your brilliance is in your genes. When you are expressing the highest genetic ability that you came here with, right? When you are expressing from your genius, whatever way that is, that's brilliance. And of course, Aquarian energy is often eccentric, different, right? It marches to the beat of its own drummer. It's a bit quirky energy. And it's also the mad scientist or inventor, you know, the one that likes to take apart things and see how they go back together. So we are gaining an understanding, perhaps, of how things work, how the universe works, how our emotions work, how a clock works, for example, how astrology works, right? Astrology is perfectly Aquarian. And there we have this potential then to understand things from a different point of view. Aquarian energy also rules the future. So in that are all about the new trends, right? Seeing the new in the morphogenetic fields, right? We were talking about that earlier this morning. What can we see out there in that field? It's invisible. It's not like it's a visible field, but you can intuit what it is in that field that's new, that's up and coming, that is in high resonance with where collectively we're going, or where for you as an individual, what part you play in that. It's also high tech, right? This is high tech energy where we may see a lot of inventions, or I mean, I've been bringing you ideas, these things that I've been looking at about how our body works with probiotics, or how health things, that seems to be one of those cutting edge things right now. There's a lot of research that's been going on into how the human body works. And so I've been bringing you those kinds of pieces of information, but we may find other things going on out there around high tech. Long range goals are also a part of the Aquarian experience. So, do you have your 5 or your 10 year plan, right? Where you've got that plan out there, and are you following your heart's desires? There's something interesting that happens in Aquarius because the opposite sign is Leo. And Leo is very heart-centered energy. As much as, you know, we want to call them arrogant or narcissistic, I mean, those are some of the more negative expressions. But in their truth, Leo energy is living from the heart, right? They're following this inner compass that takes them into these juicy areas of their life. And Aquarian energy pulls that in from that Leo opposite point. So following your heart's desires, having the nerve, the courage to live from that space rather than what you think you have to do or who you think you have to be. Humanitarianism. So this is a time to kind of tap into creating win-win outcomes in your life and in the world, even expecting win-win and not win-lose or lose-lose, right? If we hold that expectation that if I win, you lose, then we're doomed to sort of keep repeating that. But humanitarianism and Aquarian energy is far more interested in creating something for everyone, where everyone gets something out of this. So we have being human. We're all human. That means that we are all flawed. We are all joyful. We are all loving. We all want the same things, basically. I mean, there's variation, of course, but we all want to love and be loved. We all want to be able to feel safe and secure. And we all want to be able to go out and live our lives in joy and creating connections with others, etc. And humanitarianism in Aquarius is about that. It is about being interested in all people. Not just your people, not just the people in your neighborhood, or the people in your family, but being interested in all people. Like, what makes people tick? You know, what are our commonalities? If we were to travel to a very unique country, let's say, I actually got a chart request the other day from someone in Uruguay, and I was like, wow, that's cool. I've never had anybody from Uruguay before. So I was like, I would love to chat with that person just because they would have a completely different view of the world than me. That's extraordinarily Aquarian, right? To tap into the people of the planet, not just your people. And from that, then we're operating from a wider, a bigger, or a broader world view. We're looking at an Earth view and not a USA view or a state view, if you live in a state or a city view or your family view. Nope, we are broadening that to the bigger picture, maybe even a global view or a universal view, right? It's not going to be that long into the future where we are maybe living, having colonies on the moon or colonies on Mars or maybe even other planets or asteroids out there. So think about how that broadens our viewpoint, right? Living galactically instead of just globally. interesting future when we start to look from a bigger perspective. This is Uranus territory. Aquarius is one of the rulers of this sign, and so we also have access to surprises, and we also have access to revelations, and we have access to shock, shock, revelation, excitement, unexpected results, surprises, and around every corner, revitalizing experiences, right? And freedom. Right, Uranus wanting to break the bonds. And the kind of freedom specifically here isn't so much what we usually think of, like it's more liberation. So liberation isn't so different from freedom, except that it's the recognition that you've been bonded to something or in bondage to something and sort of tied up. And liberating means you are releasing yourself from that. So what do you want to release yourself from during this new moon? What have you been held to that you want to bring in more freedom from that? All right. We're also operating from the big picture as opposed to the small picture. So we have to be able to stand back and see the bigger picture. We have to become more objective. We have to seek higher knowledge. One of the biggest problems in the field right now is our psychosis. Remember gate 61 in the head center, that middle gate on the head, that is where Pluto and Saturn are sitting. And it's holding us to the shadow energy of psychosis, mass psychosis, where we keep trying to do the same things, using kind of trying to apply the same tools to our problems and expecting a new outcome, and there's not a new outcome. Why? Because it's psychotic to think that that would be the case. That's madness, right? We keep trying to do that. So we have to elevate ourselves, see the bigger picture, seek some higher knowledge, and apply those principles to our problems, our current problems, in order to see a pattern where we can move forward. This is a great time for divination, using oracle cards, astrology, tarot, numerology, any of those tools to be able to divine the future, to help you access that morphogenetic field. Sometimes it takes a tool to be able to help you do that. Humor, Aquarian energy, humor, they're the clowns, right? Laughter is the best medicine after all. And when we can apply laughter to situations, it tends to break up the old or the anger or the upset. And again, is a tool that brings us together. And of course, this is about manifesting dreams. Aquarius holds rulership over the 11th house in your astrology chart, which is the house of dreams and goals and aspirations, the vision, right, of the future. So also in that 11th house is friendships, and about how we have the need to take an open and friendly approach to one another, not closing down, not being closed-minded, being stuck in this little, you know, tunneled vision world. We have to broaden that out. And then that might mean that we're working with new people. It includes networking, right? Where we are drawing, you know, connections to all the peoples of the world. We're giving and receiving love, but it is platonic love in Aquarius energy. This isn't so much romantic love as the love of humanity, the brotherhood of all people, the brotherhoods, the sisterhoods, and about being forthright, being honest, right? Being open, living from truth. Now, of course, with any new moon, we also have the potential to want to let go of things that are no longer serving us. And some of the excesses that come in the sign of Aquarius is about detachment, right? Sometimes there's an aloofness with Aquarians. They can come off as cold, aloof, uncaring, because they tend to stand back and be more objective about things. They're not necessarily going to be the emotional reactors out there. They tend to stand back a bit. There might be a fear of getting involved in something. And it's time that we, you know, reduce that, get involved in whatever way is appropriate for you personally. Letting go of shocking behavior, or if you are seeing others in shocking behavior. I mean, I can honestly say that I think some of us here in the USA anyway are are getting numb to the shocking behavior of some of the people in our government and the leaders, right? There's it, I mean, anymore, I just shake my head. But shocking behavior, there could be some more engaged with that in this time period. And also, we want to watch where we have become inflexible. If you've become inflexible, then it's time to let go of that and take a look at what is opinion versus what is fact, right? What is truth versus what is false, and be able to release yourself from that old hardened or encrusted energy. Now, in the body, the sign of Aquarius rules the ankles and the calves of your legs. It rules the circulation in your system, so the blood flow in your body. And as such, then cramps and spasms and those type of things are also part of the Aquarius behavior and varicose veins, right? Which would be blockages in the veins, or places where the veins have thickened up. So circulation is the energy flowing through your body. Your body's a great tool for you to tap into what's going on in your spiritual or your esoteric body, let's say, because nothing comes and starts in the physical. It doesn't start in the physical and move out. It starts out in the spiritual and moves in to the body. So when your body is disrupted in some way, and we all have had colds and flu, or we have, issues that go on in our body, autoimmune diseases or cancer or what, heart problems, all that, you can trace the beginning of that. You can trace it through your body, and you can live from Western medicine that says, okay, throw some medicine at it and, relieve that symptom. Or you can look deeper. And here's the invitation at any new moon is to look deeper into those things in your body that are out of whack, that are showing you, hey, there's an imbalance here. And it might be your kidneys, that might show you adrenal burnout, that might show you that you've been too stressed, right? And that it didn't happen just overnight. Over time, you've burned out, or you've become too stressed out. And that wouldn't be too surprising right now, given the amount of energy sitting at the pressure centers in your human design. Before I go over to that part, time-wise, okay, we're doing good. Let me see if there are any questions. Marissa, my galactic center is in the ninth house. See how we grow, see how we expand. Jacqueline, it's from four soul DNA. That's a good way to look at it. And geniuses we are, Deusa says. And Kathy says, I have like six close family members who are Aquarians. So, Kathy, my guess is that you surrounded yourself by Aquarians so that you could take a look at where your beliefs have become encrusted, so that you could, by the mirror that they show you of more free-spiritedness, perhaps, of less emotional reaction, maybe you need to see where you've become too emotionally reactive or too emotionally stuck. It's an opportunity for you to ask yourself, why is this showing up in my world? Why did I surround myself by Aquarians? Like, I've done that because I surrounded myself by Libras and Scorpios. What up with that, right? Christine says, hi. What is the meaning of Aquarius in the 10th house? Well, Aquarius on the 10th would be about, would be focusing on your worldly self. And it would say to me that you're likely meant to be sort of on that cutting edge out in the world, that the work that you do, you might have a different viewpoint of how it can be done, a better viewpoint even. Maybe you can build a better mousetrap kind of thing, where you might find yourself though stuck in an institution that has a lot of tradition. So cutting edge and tradition both there in the work that you do. Learning to use both. So, okay, that answers those questions. So let's take a look at what is happening then. I drew this out in the human. This is the human design chart for the day. So you can see it is a reflector chart, right? There's no centers are colored in. All of the energy centers are white, which means they are open, which means that we are probably connected in our own personal charts because we have hanging gates at the opposite end that create an opportunity for us to connect. Well, I want you to see where most of the energy lies, right here in this root center. And the other is there's four planets up here in the head center. So we have Pluto and Saturn at gate 61 in the middle here. And then we have Neptune and Venus right here at the gate 63, also in the head center. So four planets here. And then down here, we've got one, two, three, four, five planets, six planets sitting down here, or points, six planets or points. So literally, we are, if you remember back to our conversation a week or so ago, the head center is a pressure center. The root center is a pressure center. The pressure in the root is to do, to expand outward, to move forward. It is where we can get caught up in the doingness of our world. It is a center of impulse energy. It is meant to push us out into new territory, into doing new things. The pressure in the head center, though, is completely different. Notice that the head center is the only center, like if this is the body outline here, this shaded triangle, you see that this triangle is the only energy center that is connected to spirit or to the etheric realm, as well as connected to the physical body. So here's where we are often connected to that morphogenetic field, where the new is coming in. And it's coming in at the gate 61, whose shadow is psychosis. So are we taking in all of this new energy and trying to apply it in the old tried and true ways and finding that they don't work? Where instead, this is where we have to lean into the awe and the wonder and the mystery and the magic of the universe. We have to reinstall magic. We lost something when we went all scientific on the world, right? When we let go of the mystical, the magical, the mythical, when we let go of that, we lost a part of ourselves. And yet, we needed to be able to experience science because it's helped us in so many ways, right? I'm not poo-pooing science. You know that I was a science major in college, biology and chemistry. But you can't be all biology and chemistry and science without understanding how magical it all is. That was the one thing that I got. It went, the magic of being able to read the rocks, and the layers in the rocks and what might that mean was happening in a certain geologic time on the planet. So there's awe and wonderment, there's magic and mysticism and all of the mythological that we now need to reinstall within us in order to solve our problems. Right? We cannot look to science to solve all of our problems. We cannot look to the logical mind, which is what science really represents, to solve all of our problems. It won't work. It hasn't worked. It's not working for us, right? Instead, it's created a whole host of other problems because we've lost the connection to the nature spirits. We've lost our connection to all of that, that fantasy, that mythical. Right? That's why we read books like that, or we watch movies like that. The biggest blockbuster movies are the Star Wars movies, the ET movies, the Lord of the Rings trilogies. Why? Because it takes us to that magical, that mystical, that awe, and that wonderment of a time that we've forgotten, right? We've forgotten it in our daily modern life, right? To us, the car is far more important than the mythology of what's going on. Right, of our past, the magic in our past. We need to bring them back together. Then we can solve our problems in new ways. But the pressure on us right now is from the head and the root. So it's like, squeezing an orange, right? If you're putting something through a presser, that's us right now. We're being kind of formed, squeezed, compressed, pressured to change. And that's very clear when it's almost graphic when you look at it. Where did my highlighters go? If I looked at it just from, the graph here of what we're seeing, there's almost nothing going on except at the pressure center of the head, rearranging our thoughts, retuning us to the magical, the mythical, and to the root center that says, what the bleep are you doing? What are you doing? Are you doing what you came here to do, or are you just doing? Are you doing to be doing, or are you doing to achieve something, to achieve your imagination or your creative energy? Powerful stuff that we're dealing with here. All right, I think that is about it for me this morning. I'm going to take one last look at questions here. Somehow I scrolled way up to the top. Let's go back here. Deborah Foster, good morning to you, sweetie. So I don't have anything else for you. How about you guys for me? Do you have any questions, comments? Oh, Pleiadian Earth energy for the day. I wasn't done yet. Today is six feeling energy, emotional. I think I'm speaking even more emotionally this morning. It's a six feeling. Six would be the energy of the universal day. So the universal energy means that every life form on all planets, no matter where you are in our planetary systems, you would be in sort of this energy of flow and the energy of blending all of the different types of energies on the planet. It cannot be constrained. The energy of the six is like a river that is out of its banks, right? It's just flowing. It takes the path of least resistance and fills in places that maybe we don't necessarily want it to go, but it's expansive and it can't be constrained. It is also our looking at solving issues by flowing through or going around, going up and over, going under, right? Flow. What does water do when it meets up with an obstacle? Well, it goes around it, or whatever the path of least resistance is, right? It can go over, under, around, but it does that. And so we're being tasked on a day like today to flow around or get around the obstacles in order to be moving forward. The energy of feeling is an earth energy, and it is also water or emotional energy. In the Mayan calendar, this was Muluk, and it was the energy of feeling, learning to be fluid and flowing in response to the energies around us. Kind of matches the sixth energy. It is our learning to be in response to something rather than reactive to the emotional energy around us. So, not knee-jerking, but holding for a moment, maybe even taking time to breathe before you respond to whatever it is that might have triggered you during the day. This is an energy of changing of yourself rather than shaming, blaming, or pushing others to change, right? You can't making others be what you want them to be is not the correct path. It's kind of lame, actually. It goes nowhere. It usually creates more problems, right? So we're learning to change ourselves, our perspective, our being in response to what is in our outer world. This is where you're needing to tap into your emotional state and choose how you respond, right? To release the energy, to change something within you, or let go of any inappropriate beliefs, thought patterns, mind stuff, right? So today we're going to be more in our feeling field. All right. So there's that Pleiadian energy. I just didn't want to leave this morning without that. But both are defined for me. I'm not sure what you mean, Dusa, but oh, the root and the Ajna. Okay. So the root center being defined means you actually have a better read on how to use stress energy than people who have it open. The people who have it open are taking in all that stress energy from around them, but there's no real outlet for it. So they tend to hold on to it. They become more stressed. Where people who have this center defined are much better at cutting off that stress at a certain point, you know, doing something different. If you're too upset about something, then you go do something different. Where sometimes the root center that's open will keep piling on in an attempt to solve a problem. But in the process, they're becoming more and more stressed. So that's good for you. And the Ajna is the second center down. When it's defined, you have certainty. And it is also sometimes where you can get in locked into a thinking pattern. We call it stinking thinking sometimes, where you have to always be asking yourself, is this true? Is this true? Why do I believe this? And tapping into that. So hopefully that helps you a little bit. All right, guys. Well, I hope you all have a blessed Thursday, a blessed Human Design New Year. We'll talk more about that tomorrow as well. Have a great day. I'll see you tomorrow. Tomorrow's Friday. We'll be taking a look ahead at the weekend. Ah, yes, I can't even believe it. All right, bye for now. Take care.